Thank you very much indeed, Gary. It's good to be with you again today and to be able to share together from God's Word. And we're reading today from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm reading the first 8 verses and considering those today as an introduction to Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 1 and commencing at verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. And preached, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchets of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." We end our reading there at the end of verse 8, and trust the Lord to bless his word. Let's just bow in prayer as we ask the Lord for his help. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together on this thy day to sing these great hymns and choruses that exalt thy name and remind us of the only one way of salvation, the only one way by which our sin can be forgiven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that redemption is available for all today. And we thank you that we also have thy word, which is truth. Thank you that we can meditate upon that we can glean from it. And we pray today that as we look at these verses that we've just read, that, Lord, there might be something that you would say into all our hearts and into all of our situations. And, Father, we pray that your word might come to us all with challenge. We need the Holy Spirit to take the word and to apply it to the particular needs of our own lives. And we pray that you would do that today, that we might go away from here with profit from the word of God. And Lord, we remember those who are unable to be here and pray that you would be with them today, wherever they might be, that they would know your presence. And so we commit our time into thy hand. In our Saviour's worthy and precious name we ask it. Amen. In this particular gospel, we discover that Mark's desire is to present the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant, as he begins to write primarily to the Romans. And with the Roman people in focus, he's presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant. He doesn't begin by speaking about the Lord's heritage or about his birth, as some of the other gospel writers. He doesn't share the genealogy of the Saviour. But instead, Mark just jumps right into the action. And as you go through Mark's Gospel, you'll discover that one of Mark's favourite words, or perhaps even the key word, is the word straightway. And time again he uses that word. His very first sentence in verse 1 really serves as the title of the book, and it ushers us immediately into the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mark is really going to share with his readers the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ concerning why he came to this world and concerning what he did while he was here on earth. Mark is going to share that with his readers. And of course, the good news of the gospel is something that is inseparable from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Mark is also promoting the person of Jesus Christ. And he uses the title, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is the Hebrew Joshua, meaning of course that Jehovah is our salvation. And that name reveals to us right away the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. And we've been reminded just in the past weeks of the words of the angel when they said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." We're also reminded of the words that we find in Timothy, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was his whole purpose in coming into the world. And Mark begins by presenting the person of Jesus Christ and his whole purpose in coming into this world. It declares his person and the reason for his coming. He uses the word Christ. That identifies Jesus as the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, or the Anointed One. He goes on to use the phrase, the Son of God. And Mark lets us know in very clear terms that the one that he's writing about is really no ordinary man. He's writing about a man who is God in the flesh, that God became flesh and he dwelt among us. And Mark is illustrating that in that title, the Son of God. Truly human, truly divine, truly unique. No ordinary man, the very source of the good news, which of course is the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, having introduced us in verse 1 to the one that he will write about in this gospel, Mark begins then to consider the man who was sent to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And really in verses 2 and 3 we're given an introduction to the ministry of John the Baptist. In ancient times, kings often sent people ahead of them in order to prepare the way for their coming. And so the whole concept of John having come to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't something that was new. It was something that the readers would be well aware of and well accustomed to, how that one would prepare the way for their coming. And that person who would prepare the way for the coming of a king really had two main duties. First of all, he was to make certain that the roads were passable, so that there would be no delays whenever the king would actually come and when the king would pass through that way. And secondly, he was also to let the people know that the king was coming and about the necessity of being ready for when the king would come. And so as we think about John the Baptist, John very clearly fulfilled both of those roles. He prepared the way for the coming of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also spoke to the people of the necessity of being ready for the coming of the King. He came to this world with a divine mission. He was given a heavenly commission, which we will see that he fulfilled completely. John was actually the fulfillment of two Old Testament prophecies. In verse 2 we read, as it is written in the prophets, in Isaiah chapter 40 in the verse 3, we read there that the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So John was the fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies. And again in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1 where we read, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. The ministry of John and the mission of the Saviour had both been expressed and told by the prophets. And so as we think about John preparing the way, at this particular time in history, Jewish religious leaders had largely forgotten the ordinary people. They were only concerned in those who were constantly keeping religious rituals. And as far as the ordinary people were concerned, the religious leaders of the day really were not too concerned about them. And so John came preaching to the ordinary people. John came to bring the good news of the gospel to the ordinary people, calling them to repent, because the Lord, the King, was coming, and his purpose in his coming was to deliver his people from their sins. He was a lone voice crying out against legalism, apathy, and indifference. At this time in their history, the Jews were in desperate need of spiritual revival. The Gentiles, they had given up on religion and viewed it really just as some foolish tales. So there was great need in John's day. Both of these groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, were in great need of the message that John had come to preach. And that was simply the truth. You know, surely, as we think about John and his preaching, the authority of John's ministry was the authority of the Word of God. John didn't come with any ideas that he had thought up of himself or any theories of man. John simply came preaching the Word of God. I feel that there are many parallels in our day. Many have abandoned the great doctrines of the Bible, and people today are seldom challenged in regard to their sins. Almost anything today is being embraced in the name of Christian tolerance. And when we just listen to the news, when we just listen to what's going on in all circles today, almost anything is being embraced. And surely there is a great need today for John's message, for the truth of the Word of God to be expounded and to be proclaimed. There's a great need in this generation for men who will stand up and simply preach the Word of God without fear or without favour. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon, and we must never ever lose sight of that blessed hope that the Lord is coming, and our commission is the same as that which John the Baptist received. And those who know and love the Lord as their Saviour, that commission is still the same. Really, in the words of 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The need to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. John the Baptist was certainly a herald of the gospel. He was a preacher. He told men about their need of repentance. We don't hear a lot about repentance. We don't hear that word used an awful lot these days. It simply means a change of mind that results in a change of action. And that was the message that John proclaimed in his day, a change of mind toward God and sin that would lead to a change of action within the life. And that is truly what repentance is. John came confronting sin and calling for the people of his day to repent of that sin and to trust in God. John's message was also a message of change. He told the people that their repentance would result in the remission of their sins. It wasn't just to repent of their sin and go on living as they always did. There was to be a change of action. There was to be a whole change. It would result in God's forgiveness. And that's what remission is. Forgiveness or pardon of sin, as though those sins had never ever happened. And we need men in our day who will lift up their voice and who will preach against sin on the authority of the Word of God, and who will call the people to repentance that will lead to a change of life, a change of action. Preachers who will not let popularity stand between them and the proclamation of the truth. And that was one, certainly as one of the lessons that I have gleaned from these past days in studying these 8 verses. That John simply preached the Word of God with the authority of God, a simple message of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. People need to know that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to know that hell is as real as heaven is, and God still looks for repentance. He still looks for changed lives. Surely people deserve to know the truth. That thought really gripped me just on Friday as I thought about this morning. I thought about those who can stand and preach another gospel. Have they no concern that men and women deserve to know the truth? And may God help those who handle the word to present the truth. People deserve to know the truth. A little quote that said, "The truth is sometimes daunting, but it's always worth knowing." Many of us didn't like to know the fact that we were sinners, but wasn't it worth knowing? Because it led us to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Thank God there are still those who love the truth and who seek to proclaim it. We should pray earnestly for those who have the responsibility of handling the word of God, that they will have that holy boldness to preach the word. In verse 4 we read how that John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. I found it very helpful to read the Amplified Bible for that particular verse, and I want to read that to you. It said, "John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism obligating repentance, a change of one's mind for the better, heartily amending one's ways with abhorrence for his past sins in order to obtain forgiveness of and release from sins." In connection with the ceremonial laws of the Jews, there were divers washings. And so baptism wasn't a new thing for the people of that day. The way that John used it certainly was a new thing. John didn't baptize in order to make people right with God. And perhaps just at a very casual glance, it would appear like that. You know, they were being baptized because their sins had been forgiven. It doesn't mean that people were being baptized in order to have their sins forgiven. People are not baptized in order to be saved, but they are baptized because they have been saved. Baptism is a picture of a person dying to the old life of sin and rising again to a new life of holiness. And having been forgiven, when they listened to the message that John proclaimed, when they listened to the word of God, when they listened to the truth, and having responded to that, these people wanted to be baptized in order to declare publicly that their lives had been changed by the power of God. And it was a public testimony that they had been converted, that they had been saved. It wasn't for salvation. It was about a change of life. You know, when a man or a woman is converted, there's surely a great change. Paul reminds us of that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. We read, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." And John just preached the word of God, and God honoured his word. When we think about the early church, when we read further in the New Testament, we discover that preaching and prayer were the two pillars of the early church. I know those are the two things that will make the work of God strong. It's preaching the word and prayer. John preached the word, and I've no doubt he was a man of prayer. And he saw the blessing of God. And we need to remember that we're still in a time when God does bless his word. And I'm convinced that if the whole counsel of the word of God is proclaimed in truth and sincerity, God will honour that. God will bless the preaching of his word if it's preached simply as it's written. God will honour his word. Isn't that what he promised in Isaiah 55? He said, "So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." God has promised to bless the preaching of his word. And we need to stand firm upon the truth of the word, as John did. And he knew the blessing of God. People still need to know that they're sinners. We're in a very modern world. Technology is way beyond so many of us. Things are moving so fast. But people still need to know that they're sinners in need of repentance, to experience the forgiveness of God and the assurance of an eternal home in heaven. Do we not all need to be stirred up by the word at times? And how we love the word when it's preached in sincerity. I think it's fair for us to say today in reading these verses that John's manner was as unusual as his message. He was probably out of step in his fashion sense. He was a common man who didn't seek after the attractions or the allurements of this world. John came with a strange appearance. He preached a strong message, but God was with him in an amazing way as he carried out a powerful ministry. And I think that John's ministry teaches us something very important for today. And that is that we don't have to fit in to this world or to its ideas. John didn't fit in. We're often told these days we should try to just blend in to fit in. John certainly didn't fit in. But God blessed his ministry. Believers are called to be a peculiar people. We're called to be a distinct people. Not weird, but having a desire to walk with God and to honour God in our lives day by day. The hymn writer said, "Oh, for a life to please my God, in every little thing, a holy life that day by day to him will glory bring." We should never allow the world to force us into its mould. But we should abandon ourselves to God and allow him to mould us into his image. When we come to verses 7 and 8 of our reading today, we learn something also about John. John certainly didn't preach to build up his own name or his own reputation. He didn't preach to promote a great ministry. He didn't preach to attract a crowd. He preached a simple message about a wonderful Saviour called Jesus. It was a message about the need to deal honestly with sin. He called men to repentance. And his desire was to point men to the Lord Jesus Christ. And very soon after this, he would step aside. And the Lord Jesus Christ would take center stage. Having prepared the way for the King of Kings, John would pale into insignificance and Christ would be seen. Christ would be heard. John the Baptist was a very bold preacher against sin. He was a very bold preacher for the necessity of repentance. But When he began to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, John was actually a very humble man. In verse 7 he said, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchets of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose." John saw himself as being lower than the least of the servants, unable to even tie the shoelaces of the Saviour. Compared to Jesus, John says, "I'm nothing, but he's everything. I didn't come to call people to me, but I came to point people to Jesus Christ." And John recognized that if people could see Jesus, then they would see themselves as they really were. they would see their need and they would come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. All along the way, John never lost sight of his office as a herald, calling attention to the coming one. And more, John seeks to turn his attention away from himself and to turn the attention toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why later on he could say, he must increase, but I must decrease. As a brave pioneer, John prepared the way for the coming of the King of Kings. And with the authority of a fiery prophet, he predicted the emergence of the Messiah. With the zeal of an evangelist, he pointed men and women to the Lamb of God, the only one who could take away their sin. With the humility of a servant whose work was accomplished, he was content to be eclipsed by the Master. If only Jesus Christ were seen in all of our lives and in all of our preaching, surely people would bow to him in salvation, in surrender, and in service. John wasn't calling people to religion. He wasn't pointing them to a Saviour who could. He was pointing them away from religion to a Saviour who could save their souls, to one who could forgive their sins, one who could change their lives, one who could make them ready for heaven. You know, that's the very heart of the gospel today, to point men and women and young people away to the Lord Jesus Christ. The great news of the very same gospel that John proclaimed is that Jesus Christ can still do the same for all those who will come to him by faith, repenting of their sin and trusting in Jesus Christ for forgiveness and for the hope of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one today who can still bring about that change in the life of all who will trust in him. That's the great news of the Gospel of Mark, that a change can come about in the life of every individual. And today you can be saved. You can be cleansed from your sin. You can be changed. You can be forgiven. And I trust today that you've had that experience, that you have come to know the one that John spoke of, and that if not, that even today you might come to know him. Him to know is life eternal. And I trust that all of us, like John, through our lives and through our speech, might point others to the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you today for thy word, and we thank you for the great message that John had to proclaim in preparation for the coming of the King of Kings. Lord, we realise and we recognise today that we still need that message of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ for the assurance of heaven. And we pray that all today might be able to testify to that experience, to a changed life. And we pray that our lives day by day might be being changed more and more into the likeness of the one who has become our salvation. Bless thy word to all our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.